Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Tuesday. I can feel major trades in the air. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Lot of things percolating today in this magic shelf.
Magic shelf, what a good line. I'm stealing that.
I've got a lot of things going on today. I am going to unveil magical solutions and theories today.
Listen, as long as it involves Deshaun Watson getting to Miami, I'm here for it.
Love your hair today.
Thank you.
Can I say that?
Thank you. Yes,
we're friends.
Can.
Yes,
you
I can
yes,
say that.
You can. Yeah. Your hair looks great also.
Thank you. Right back at you, Colin. All right, I want to start with this. So, listen, we're all sitting here. We got Rodgers and Brady. We're all jacked up for that. And then we got Mahomes and Josh Allen. We're all actually terrified that won't happen. I got nothing against Chad Henne. I thought that was a magical, amazing moment for Chad Henne. It really made me happy. The more I thought about it, I'm like, God, your kids are there. Tell them that story. Play of the year in the NFL, Chad Henne. You couldn't write that thing. But we want Mahomes against Josh Allen, right? Like, that's reasonable. And I'm sitting here this morning thinking, if I'm the NFL, Patrick Mahomes is going through protocol. I find the day Patrick Mahomes can play, that's when we play. Why not? The NBA, to get Zion into the bubble, jerry-rigged their playoff format. The NFL moved games all year long. By the way, the last time these two teams played, they played in the Monday afternoon because of COVID. After this game, you got 2 weeks to the Super Bowl. Who cares when you play it? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, who cares? What you want is the best game possible and the best scenario possible. What we have learned in 2020 and 2021, everything's adjustable. The Masters, the most rigid sporting event in America, the Masters. Yeah, we're just going to move it 6 months to November. This is what you do. Mission Impossible 6. Tom Cruise breaks an ankle. They delay production. Got a Beyonce ticket, Jay-Z, they're sick. What, do you see a backup? No, they cancel it. You go online, they cancel it. They give you another ticket for when they perform. Let's not kid ourselves here. Mahomes, Allen, Rodgers, Brady, let's not screw this thing up. The pandemic has shown us everything is adjustable. Everything is possible. Do you know why the Super Bowl, they don't play it? I mean, if it was fair, you would play it some years in Buffalo and some years in cold weather and some years in Seattle. And you know where they play the Super Bowl? Warm weather overwhelmingly. Why? Because that will give you the best case scenario for a good game. That it won't be snowing. There won't be a blizzard. I mean, they've put it in small, tiny towns in the warm part of the country. Jacksonville, that had one hotel. Why? Because they didn't want to put it in Buffalo. Listen, there's a reason bowl games and the Super Bowl, when they have a choice, move games to warmer weather. Best possible scenario, end of the year, for a great matchup. Let's not screw it up. It would be a great advantage if the NFL played Super Bowls in Seattle where it's blowing sideways and Aaron Rodgers can't throw the ball and he faces more of a running quarterback. But you don't want to do that. You want to make it available for all the great players to be at their best. Well, we've got a great player. He's not available potentially Sunday. All right, let's play it Monday. You won't watch? We have football games all year on Monday. You won't watch. Politics, entertainment, sports, it's 2021. You do whatever you got to do. Move whatever you have to move to make it right. We have watched stubborn leagues and stubborn people go down in flames this year. The people that have excelled, the leagues, the sports that have excelled. UFC moved to Dubai. They went and bought an island. They're like, we're just going to make it work. Didn't make the fight any less. I remember watching those fights on Fight Island. Those were unbelievable. You just make stuff work. NFL, I figure out a way to get Mahomes in that game. I don't feel bad about it for a second. In fact, if I was Buffalo, what a hollow victory getting to the Super Bowl, not facing Patrick Mahomes. All right. This story, we are on the brink of something big. According to the latest reports, Deshaun Watson, one of your 5-10 best quarterbacks in the league, 5-6, whatever, he's great, wants out of Houston. Wants out of Houston. And the reports this morning are he may force a trade. So let's just think about this. There are two ways in the NFL to rebuild. You can get a star quarterback, or you can find the right coach and slowly, methodically build a roster. That's what the Dolphins have done. And the Dolphins have done it almost step-by-step perfectly. They've made no mistakes. 2 years in, still haven't made the playoffs. The New York Jets make a move and get Deshaun Watson. This move is perfect. I'll tell you why. The Jets have 5 first-round picks because of the Jamal Adams trade. They could give 4 of them away. That's what Houston wants. They got so many first-round picks. It's essentially you'd be trading Jamal Adams and a first-round pick or two for Deshaun Watson. If I'd have told you that a year ago, you'd be like, wait a minute. I get Deshaun Watson for a safety and a couple of picks? You'd be like, yeah, I'd take that. That's a crazy, and I like Jamal Adams. You would take that in a second. That's what it would be. First of all, what does Houston need? Because Deshaun Watson wants out. He wants out. They have to get out of cap hell. This would help. They need massive draft picks. This would help. And they still need a quarterback. So you could take Darnold, or you could take Justin Fields. That would also, by the way, make Eric Bieniemy a perfect choice. What has he been working with for 2 years, 3 years? A young quarterback who can run a little bit with a big arm. What do the Jets need? They got to get better at quarterback. I mean, you can draft Justin Fields, but your new head coach is Robert Saleh, who's a defensive guy. Oh, by the way, Deshaun Watson said the two coaches he wanted to work with, Robert Saleh, Eric Bieniemy. Robert Saleh, by the way, was just in San Francisco. He saw what it's like to have issues at quarterback. He watched Kyle Shanahan, his boss, one of the best coaches ever, fail to win Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Why? Because he didn't have the quarterback. Saleh, given the option of Darnold, Justin Fields, or Deshaun Watson, what do you think he's taking? Deshaun Watson, the options of coaches he would like, Houston didn't hire Saleh, and it doesn't look like they'll hire Bieniemy. He would take Robert Saleh. This move sounds like a move made in heaven. There's two ways in this league to get better. Find a star quarterback or get the coach and rebuild. And the Dolphins have done that, and they're still not a playoff team. And with Buffalo's greatness, New England maybe reboots, Miami's not going away. Here's the other thing to think about. The other place Deshaun Watson is rumored to go is Miami. If you're the Jets, you don't act in the next 2 days. Miami gets him. The other place where I think he's a perfect fit is New England. And by the way, New England has all these people down in Houston that used to be Patriots. So you know if it comes down to draft picks, Houston will do business with New England over the Jets. You made the Jamal Adams deal to get picks. You going to hoard them? The bottom line, when the Jets made that move with Jamal Adams to get the picks, those picks were secured to get a star, either in the draft or through a trade. You can go through the draft, or you can get Deshaun Watson. He wants out. Reportedly now he's going to demand to be traded. The three teams everybody's looking at, New England, Jets, Miami, New York, make a move. You have 5 first-round picks next 3 years. If you got to use 5, do it. This makes a ton of sense. I'm just engineering stuff that may never happen, but it seems like if I'm the Jets, I can go Darnold, I can cross my fingers with Justin Fields, or I can get a star tomorrow as Buffalo and Miami are on the precipice of being good for a decade. You better get it right at quarterback.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
The Jets were last in everything in the NFL this year offensively, with offensive guru Adam Gase. This story's weird. Former Jets coach Adam Gase is being interviewed for the Seattle offensive coordinator job. Apparently proof Pete Carroll really does hate Russell Wilson. I'm sure Jamal Adams just loves this. I'm sure he's just thrilled with this. Listen, at some point, there's proof of stuff. You know, resumes, you make a lot of mistakes in life, that's who you are. There are multiple offensive players who got significantly better the moment they left Adam Gase. Ryan Tannehill was a non-starter. Then he got Arthur Smith, a new coordinator. He's like a Pro Bowler. Kenyon Drake averages 3 times more rushing yards per game in Arizona than he did with Adam Gase. In Arizona, he's a star. He's had 18 touchdowns in 23 games. Wide receiver Devontae Parker was considered a bust. Adam Gase left. He had 1,200 yards and 9 TDs the next year. Robbie Anderson, pretty much just a deep threat. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't throw a deep ball. He leaves Adam Gase. He has 1,100 yards in rebuilding Carolina. Robbie Anderson came out and said, I'm reading a quote, it was times in New York, I felt like I was losing my love for football. Oh, great. Adam Gase was killing his spirit, not just killing the offense. Le'Veon Bell went to the Jets, disappeared into the ether. Sam Darnold, who's got talent, has regressed badly. Like, come on now, Seattle. What message does that send to your players? There are so many talented young guys out there. Alex Van Pelt, 2 weeks ago for Cleveland, because Kevin Stefanski couldn't be there because of COVID protocol. Alex Van Pelt was asked to call plays for the Browns against the Steelers, and he was literally brilliant. He just needed an opportunity. Mike Kafka is a former Northwestern quarterback, is sitting out there. Overpay for him. But Seattle is becoming a really weird franchise. One playoff win in 4 years with a Hall of Fame coach, Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, Jamal Adams. I don't know. I don't even want this story out there. How did this story leak? Why would it leak? Makes no sense to me at all.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So I'm gonna throw this out there. So I do this for a living. I'm not a journalist. I'm not going to put myself in sort of like Tom Rinaldi's class or, you know, like a journalist, New York Times. I break about one story a year. I'll break a story. We broke the Brady story to the Bucks about once a year. And it's not journalism. It's just like somebody calls me and knows me and, you know, they give me a little scoop. And I have sources for stuff, but I'm in the opinion business. And Joy used to be a real journalist and stuff. And she's in the opinion business. But and she has sources, too. But I'm just going to have you think about something. Is Bill Belichick petty or a little bit of a grudge holder?
Yes.
That's not a leap. So I see a story. Josh McDaniels, great offensive coordinator for New England, prime candidate for the Eagles job. If he gets the job, he'll take one or two assistants with him. In the last year, Joe Judge, great Patriot assistant, left. They didn't challenge him. Left, took a couple of assistants. Brian Flores, 2 years ago, left. Defensive coordinator, took a couple of assistants. Josh McDaniels is going to take that Philadelphia job, leaves, takes a couple of assistants. Dante Scarnecchia is already retired. Jed Fish, strangely, spent just 1 year in New England. Now he's the Arizona football coach. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback in New England. It's one of the weakest rosters. They have lost all their top assistants. And what if Belichick waited about 2 more weeks for all the top candidates to be gone and announced his retirement from the Patriots? Colin, he would screw over Robert Kraft. Yes. Let's go back to Belichick is a grudge holder. Who forced him to trade Jimmy Garoppolo? If he is not forced to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, then the Patriots don't embarrass themselves this year. Then Belichick doesn't continually get mocked this year. Don't think Belichick wanted to win this divorce? Oh, it hurts. Folks, you don't think he has an ego? You don't think Saban has an ego? You don't think Popovich has an ego? Brady has not only won this divorce, it makes Belichick look stupid. He can't draft receivers. He couldn't figure out Tom. Just throwing it out there. They've lost Joe Judge. They've lost Flores. They'll lose McDaniels. They raid the staff. You wait a week, the candidate's gone. Dante Scarnecchia, Jed Fish. Colin, he is super competitive. Just take a year off. Cherry picked the best opening in a year. Nobody said Belichick, though he's close to 70, is retiring. Certainly could. Made his money, made his fortune. You think he was happy? One time, Robert Kraft has gotten involved in football stuff. Once. Belichick sitting there thinking, what, you don't trust me? Didn't Parcells leave New England? Get to buy the groceries. You want me to make dinner? I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not making a prediction here. This isn't even a theory. But let's just say he left in 2 weeks. New England would be the worst football team in the NFL. No quarterback, no playmakers, bad roster, all the brain power gone, Belichick out. In Jupiter, fishing for a year, talking to Jimmy Johnson, maybe does TV, maybe doesn't. Not saying it's going to happen. This is not a prediction. But the question is Bill a grudge holder? Yeah, that's not really, we're not going to argue that, right? Just throwing it out there. Every loser blogger will be like, coward says. No, I'm just saying.
Well, it's just, I guess it's the amount of weighing if he cares about winning the divorce or not.
Don't you think he looks bad? Don't you think this has hurt his legacy?
I don't know if this year has hurt his legacy, but.
Peter Schrager said yesterday, here's what he said about Josh McDaniels and the Philadelphia Eagle job.
Josh McDaniels coming from New England to go work with Howie Roseman, finally becoming a head coaching candidate and finally becoming a head coach in this league would be something to watch, because if there's anyone who can talk to quarterbacks, it's McDaniels. But as we know with what happened in Denver and then, of course, leaving Indianapolis at the altar there, a lot of teams were like, that is toxic. We don't want to touch it. Do the Eagles have the courage to walk into their media room and say, Josh McDaniels is the number one guy for this job?
Lost a lot of assistants. In a week, 2 weeks, all the good ones are gone. I am not predicting or saying it's going to happen. But it's the kind of stuff that swims in my head when I hear this
stuff. What did you call it? The magic shelf?
The magic shelf. It's like just like theories and ideas just stored up there and stacked up there in boxes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen, the Texans are, they got issues. Deshaun Watson reportedly, top five quarterback or whatever's in the league, he wants out. And so if I'm the Jets, I said I would just go for it. You got five first-round picks next 3 years because of the Jamal Adams trade. I'd give four up. I'd probably try to keep one. I'd give you four, and I'd do it. And it really does work. But, you know, it's funny that – and it's taken a long time. The NBA has finally figured it out. First-round picks don't mean anything. Anthony Davis-Laker deal don't mean anything. New Orleans isn't winning. The Lakers are winning titles. They don't mean anything. Now, in the NFL, they mean more than the NBA, because in the NBA, your first-round pick is a 19-year-old who's played briefly at Dayton. And so he's going to take 5 or 6 years, even if he's a terrific young player, to kind of become a man in the NBA, get used to the travel, the physicality of the NBA. Football players come out after 3 or 4 years of college, and they can make an immediate impact. But the reality is there's no first-round player in this year's draft outside of Trevor Lawrence that's going to be as productive as Deshaun Watson for the first couple of years. He's probably the only one, and he's a generational talent. But think about this. Think about what giving up first-round picks. It sounds scary, but it's not. Chicago gave up two first-rounders for Khalil Mack. They've made the playoffs twice. Raiders, who got the picks, have yet to make the playoffs. The LA Rams gave up two first-rounders for Jalen Ramsey. They made the playoffs and won a playoff game. Jags, the worst team in the league. And even Seattle, they made the playoffs again. They got Jamal Adams, who absolutely helped them make the playoffs. Lakers, Anthony Davis. Folks, the best, if you were the Jets, you have the number two pick in the draft. The best you could hope for is that Justin Fields becomes Deshaun Watson. You take that bet this morning. So just go get Deshaun Watson. That, if you said, yeah, Justin Fields, how good is he going to be? Deshaun Watson good? Didn't I hear this morning? Deshaun Watson now, what is his completion percentage? I think it's currently like, it's an absurd number. Like highest, that's his career playoff percentage. His career completion percentage is 68%. That's with the athleticism. It's the highest all time. That's with the athleticism. You get him running around. Oh, yeah, he completes 68% of his throws. That's what Breeze does without the athleticism and deep ball. So, to me, if he wants out, engineer the trade. Go get three or four first-round picks if you're Houston. Jets get a star. And by the way, Houston can say, give us Darnold and the number two pick. We'll draft Justin Fields. We'll put him in camp. We'll see who wins the job. We'll trade the next guy. By the way, Joy said this earlier. So, do we have the Bruce Arians sound? We have a Bruce Arians quote. He was talking about this win this past weekend. Here's the quote, Bruce Arians. He says, Tom's the consummate leader, been all year. Air of confidence permeates through the team. I allow him to be himself. I allow him to be himself. Like New England didn't allow him to coach. I allow him to coach. I just sit back sometimes and watch. I'm going to defend Belichick on this one. There's a reason Tom can, like, coach and stuff. He learned how to do that in New England from the world's best coach. Listen, Tampa was a really easy thing to describe. The first year, Bruce Arian culture went 7-9 in Tampa. This year, Bruce Arian's culture was about 500 through October. And then New England became Tom Brady's culture, and they got really hot and won like 7 of their last 8 games. The Bruce Arians culture last year was 7-9, bad special teams, and mistake-filled. I mean, like most picks ever. And the beginning of this year, Tampa Bay was Bruce Arians culture and Tom fitting into it. And then Tom, about week 9 and 10, said, I'm tired of this blank. It's going to be my culture. And, yeah, then they got really good. That is not a shot at Bruce Arians. But the story in Tampa is Tom changing the culture to the Tom culture from the Bruce culture. Trent Dilfer talked yesterday about Brady, the game, the persona, everything about him.
I can't think of a ball he forced. When he missed away from the defense. His misses were really good. He wasn't forcing the issue. He played the long game. He never panicked. And obviously he got some great help from a defense that played phenomenal and got the ball back for him. He's going to take what the defense gave him. And I thought he was, what were they, 1-for-5 on vertical attempts? But again, the misses were educated misses. So he played like a champion in a tough game.
Yeah, when we go back to look at Brady, and it's interesting, we are very quick to anoint Aaron Rodgers as a potential GOAT because he's so gifted. We're very quick after one Super Bowl to put Patrick Mahomes in the top 10 quarterbacks ever. Is people who judge quarterbacks never consider stuff beyond the talent. But the truth is, Joe Montana was not the most talented quarterback in the NFL. Breeze isn't, Brady isn't. The reality is Favre was, but made a ton of mistakes, harder to coach. Aaron is perhaps harder to coach. Some would argue underachieved, bit prickly and aloof. The reality is Brady is the rare all-timer that still is a little underloved. We still, this kind of confirms. I really think when he left, I would listen to sports talk radio. Half the callers, it's a system. He's not going to do anything without Belichick. We never said that about other stars in other sports. Brady left New England, and half the sports fans in America, you could listen to any sports talk radio channel in the country, 50-50. he'll disappear. 13-5. We've never really understood the gravitas, the intellect, the pre-snap, the leadership. They're winning now because they've shifted to the Tom Brady culture from the Bruce Arians culture.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
The NFL playoffs continue Sunday with the NFC Championship presented by TurboTax Live as Tom Brady and the Buccaneers take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Pre-game coverage starts at 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Weather's about, it was yesterday, it was 60% chance of snow, which is, it's, this week we got lucky, both Buffalo. It was so funny, I was sitting there telling a friend, I'm like, it's 35 degrees in Buffalo, 36 in Green Bay, and it's mid-January. I'm not saying it's global warming, but something's happening. Where, I mean, even,
and it was 80 degrees in California.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Jay Glazer, Fox Sports NFL insider, also the owner of Unbreakable Performance Centers. You obviously see him on Fox NFL Sunday. He is our story breaker, and he is joining us now live. All right, the Deshaun.
From 80 degree LA. Hey, you guys were just talking about that. When I first moved to LA from New York, all my friends were like, man, you're not going to be able to handle it out there. You're going to miss the seasons. I'm like, I got the Travel Channel. I'm good. I'll take my 80 degrees.
Travel. I like that. So, listen, Deshaun Watson, and, you know, you read the stories, it's forcing a trade. The Jets look, I mean, they got all the first round picks from the Jamal Adams deal. They could give him four. Do you think he forces his way out of Houston? What are you hearing, Jay?
Why are you only bringing up the Jets? If I'm the, listen, if I'm Urban, I do it. If I'm, he's a known commodity. You're not sure with as much as we think Trevor Lawrence and probably will be a stud and Fields, and you don't know. You just don't know. There's been so many other busts that we've seen at number one pick, number two pick. You know what Deshaun is. You know what he is on the field and off the field. If I'm the first pick, the second pick, the third pick, whatever it is, if I have a chance to get Deshaun Watson, I'm sending whatever I have to get Deshaun Watson. And the problem that the Texans are in right now, I mean, listen, there's one thing, and I've seen different people say, well, you know, you don't have to let somebody in on your decision-making process. The problem is, if you tell him you're going to let him in on the decision-making process, and then you don't, that's the issue. You don't have to. You don't have to have your quarterback. Belichick didn't go to Brady with anything. But if you tell them you're going to, and then you don't, then they feel lied to. That's where your issue is. But Deshaun Watson is, this is the type of guy you want. Leading your team, leading your prayer service, marrying your daughter. Like, he is somebody you could really put everything on. So, yeah, if I'm another team, I do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson because you know the known commodity that you're getting. And for the Texans, how they make this right, I don't know. Because they're trying to hire a head coach right now. And if whoever is going to even talk to them, they're going to want to know for sure that Deshaun Watson's the quarterback, but Deshaun's not really talking to them right now. So they're in a horrible position.
Urban Meyer, you talked to him recently. What's his biggest challenge going to be in Jacksonville?
Here's the biggest issue. And look, one thing I talked to, and Jimmy Johnson said on our show the other day, it is so different in the NFL and college. And part of it is you can't just threaten to pull someone's scholarship, but you're dealing with 53 different corporations inside of that locker room. Not 53 men, but 53 different corporations. But I also said, hey, man, the way you talk to these guys, you've got to talk to them differently now than you did in college. And, you know, go after how Pete Carroll did it. You got to love these guys up. You got to treat them like men. The reason why Bobby Petrino, Nick Saban, they didn't work out. They almost got their butts kicked because they didn't treat them like men. I mean, Nick Saban, the reason why he didn't make it in the NFL, Dante Culpepper tried to fight him one day, and a security guy stepped in. And then I think his final straw is that he questioned Zach Thomas's toughness. And Zach almost kicked his butt. That just doesn't work on this level. And I know Urban's not one of those guys that kind of goes after you and tries to demean you. But I said, just make sure you don't do any of that on this level because it doesn't work on this level. You're dealing with grown men who are a corporation, but also it's different how they act than they do in college. When you go and say something like that to Zach Thomas, good chance that you're going to end up on the ground.
Yeah. Philadelphia, Josh McDaniel rumors everywhere. I mean, I'm reading stuff about power struggles and Jeffrey Lurie wants certain things done. And I think, man, this is toxic because most coaches, they'd like a little say in personnel. What's your gut feeling on who gets this gig?
Look, tomorrow, and I don't know if this is out, tomorrow I believe they're going to interview Dennis Allen for the Saints. They love Mayo. They love McDaniels. There's just, you know, here's the issue also is you want to, if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, and I know we look at situations and go, man, this place is toxic. There's only 32 of these jobs. That's it. And this is the dream for the reason why you coach is to become a head coach. That's your dream. It's what everybody dreams of. So we used to always look and say, oh, this person's not going to take this or they're not going to take that. It's only 32 of these things on the planet. The job, whoever they hire, that person needs to sell them on, I'll make it work with Carson and Jalen. I'll make it work in there. That's your job. And, you know, you look at, you think that you would have this issue of in an Andy Reid locker room? Nope. Sean Payton locker room? Nope. Mike Tomlin locker room? Nope. They'll make it work. That's a coach is gonna, it's his job to make it where these two quarterbacks can not only coexist, but help each other out.
So you broke the story on Drew Brees retiring. You know, it was obviously kind of an ugly way to end your career, but I was saying it the other day, you kind of look like Big Ben and Brees at the end of your career. Brady's the outlier. That's how I remember Troy Aikman's last year. I can remember Brett Favre's last year. So Brees officially still retiring. Do you think he'll announce it soon?
I don't know when he's going to announce it, but he went out on his shield. Good for him. And the reason why also I wanted to point it out, because some people were upset. First of all, that's my job. My job is to break news, number one. Number two, you know, some people are like, well, he should have done it. The reason why I wanted to point it out on our show is we were talking so much about Tom Brady, we were all forgetting that this is Drew Brees' last game in the Superdome. It was an afterthought, and it shouldn't have been an afterthought. What this guy did, he and Sean Payton, when they went down there to New Orleans, they changed that culture, but helped change that city and that city that needed to get saved so much.
Yeah.
They were bigger than football. These guys were bigger than football for New Orleans. They were part of history.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mahomes, I'm crossing my fingers. I mean, listen,
Wait. Did you really bring up that they should move the game away from Mahomes? You really did?
Well, listen, when Tom Cruise broke his ankle, they delayed production on Mission Impossible. If Jay-Z gets a cold, you don't go to a backup. The Masters moved to November.
When I was at Fox this weekend, they didn't let us drink before we went on the air. Have they changed that rule?
Hey, I'm a radio guy. I just said I would do it. I didn't say.
First of all, and let me tell you, you're not going to move the game for Patrick Mahomes because then every player after that's going to go, wait, what about me? Every coach can't do it, number one. Number two, the toe was probably more of an issue. And people were so up in arms the other day about this. Guys, if you look right here, okay, look where their hand is around his neck, around the artery. And people get so mad that I am talking about a concussion. They didn't believe it was a concussion. He was trying to get back in the game that day. And, yeah, he got up wobbly and woozy. And because what happened was, watch, he gets that artery hit, just like you're getting choked out. We're trying to choke someone out in mixed martial arts. We're trying to get an artery, if you can see, here and here, okay? We're trying to get these two arteries. And your lights go out, the blood goes, and it doesn't go slowly. When you get choked out, it goes, here, and you're out, right? And then sometimes you start doing things you don't realize you're doing. You're grabbing a referee's leg or your teammate or whatever. And that's what they believe happened to him more so than a concussion. But now he's wobbly. He has to go through the concussion protocol. But, man, it takes me – and again, you see it goes around and it hits that artery. It doesn't take a lot to put somebody out. And it's – so I expect him – and they expect him to pass the concussion protocol. Right? You know, I had one guy hit me up on Twitter, said, you're an MMA guy. You should know better. It takes 5 seconds to choke someone out. And this guy, I think, was an instructor somewhere. Well, you need to close your school. Because it takes way less than 5 seconds to choke someone out. It takes us about a second and a half, 2 seconds to shoot. You really get it on, put someone out. But if you saw, he caught it around here, got that artery, and that's what they kind of thought was, you know, was the issue with Patrick. That day, he was trying to argue with them to let him back in.
Wow.
But obviously the visual of it, he's stumbling all over. You can't let that happen. And, you know, they're going to continue. I know it's a very sensitive subject. I'm giving you the facts that I have been told about it.
All right. Well, that's what you do. Jay Glazer, owner Unbreakable Performance Center. And
where it doesn't take us 5 seconds to choke someone out.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Good seeing you, man. All right.
Thank you, buddy. I'm coming.